I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports. There are updates. And updates. There are numbers. And numbers. There are sorrows. In sorrow, there is redemption. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
Welcome to the Jazz Disturbance. A show featuring jazz and other improvisational music from local, regional, worldwide, and world-class artists, connecting listeners with the people and places presenting in the area. The Jazz Disturbance airs on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from our Hudson studio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Jazz Disturbance, 90.7 degrees, hot.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information about any of these stories. Shanice Holmes Browns reports in the Times Union that Albany County announced another COVID-19 death on November 20th. As case counts around the region have risen dramatically this week. Nationally, case counts across the country have risen 30% in the last 2 weeks, in Albany County. They announced 131 more coronavirus cases November 19th, the fourth straight day with new infections over 100. Albany County only said that the latest death was a man in his 60s. Quote, I continue to stress how important it is that everyone follows CDC recommendations to mask when indoors, stay 6 feet apart, wash your hands frequently, and cough and sneeze into your arm to help prevent the spread, unquote, McCoy said. Quote, we also need more people to get vaccinated and to get their boosters, especially as we start the holiday season. No one wants holiday gatherings to turn into super spreader events, unquote. Greene County announced 54 new cases on November 19th, in a week with rising numbers there. 34 new cases November 15th, 21 more cases November 16th, and 25 more cases November 17th. Columbia County announced on November 17th, 38 new cases, 50 more on November 19th, and another 33 new cases on November 20th. In Saratoga County, a family of four all recently contracted the disease. The mother and one son were vaccinated and recovered. The father and another son were not vaccinated and died. Quote, it's a cautionary tale that I don't want to accentuate, unquote, Julie Martin said. Quote, my husband and son were vaccine hesitant. They didn't have any physical health problems and they were not at particular risk, unquote. On November 19th, the Centers for Disease Control announced booster shots are now available for anyone who got their Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna coronavirus vaccines at least 6 months ago. Pfizer is also asking the Food and Drug Administration to authorize its antiviral pill to treat unvaccinated people with COVID-19 or who are at high risk of becoming severely ill, the company said earlier in the week. The new drug, Paxlovid, could be available within weeks if authorization is granted. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Ted Remsnyder reports in Columbia Green Media that 10 of 14 Greene County legislators voted November 17th to do a little something about the Hudson Valley housing crisis. They voted for some funding to a proposed workforce housing project in the village of Tannersville. Currently, there are fewer apartments and homes to rent or purchase throughout the Hudson Valley, and more people are trying to rent or buy homes in the Hudson Valley. When supply falls and demand rises, prices go up. Part of the reason supply is down is that people are converting apartments and houses from long-term rentals or purchases to short-term rentals. That trend is fueled by a lack of local hotel rooms. Local governments have few options, create incentives to build hotel rooms and apartments, and regulate short-term rentals. While local public officials lament that so many job openings remain unfilled locally, it may partially be due to low-wage workers no longer being able to afford a home or apartment in the Hudson Valley. In Tannersville, the Hunter Foundation and the nonprofit RUPCO organization are seeking state funding for a $20 million-plus project for 80 units of affordable workforce housing in Tannersville for ski resort workers. Greene County voted to kick in $350,000 from the county's $9.1 million Federal American Rescue Plan Act funding. Legislators Michael Bullock, Matthew Lavera, Greg Davis, and Thomas Hobart voted against helping the housing project, and Bullock believes local businesses should be responsible for paying the cost of housing their own workers. Quote, if this is what's required, then you need to factor that into your cost of doing business. That's just part of a business plan. Labor is a huge component of most businesses, so I don't know how people get caught flat-footed in not planning for that, unquote, Bullock said. Why didn't the ski resorts foresee that a global pandemic would drive thousands to move to the Hudson Valley and drive up housing costs and dry up housing stock? Bullock argued that the Hudson Valley housing crisis was caused by people leaving the state. Quote, I would argue that this crisis was caused by government. Whether you want to call it the highly regulated state of New York that pushed people out with families to southern states where the taxes and regulations are low, that's where the people are going to go, unquote, Bullock said. Greene County legislator Jack Keller voted for the housing funding and pushed back against Bullock's claims. Quote, Hunter is in dire need of workforce housing, as are other towns in Greene County, unquote, he said. Quote, Catskill is one, especially in the village area. This is something that's in progress. It's not a theory. They've been working on this for years. I feel that if this money is granted to Greene County, then let's start using it on projects that look like they're going to go through. This one should go through. Let's start, because if we don't use what's been allocated for us, eventually when the time comes, we're going to lose it. So let's use it to enhance our county and take care of some problems, unquote. Bullock argued that low-wage workers needing government help to afford living in this area were the problem. Quote, I worked my tail off my entire life to have what I have, to see that my taxes are going to pay for somebody who quite honestly doesn't want to work as hard as I do, work their 40-hour week and have their housing provided for them. I don't like rewarding complacency the way people think I work 40 hours, so I should be entitled to an apartment that costs $1,500 a month, even though my job can only pay me $15 an hour. No, that's not how it works, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that local environmental groups continue to oppose a proposal for a biofuels plant along Route 23 across from the Schoharie Creek from Prattsville from the Yonkers-based Hughes Energy. The proposed 115,000-square-foot, seven-story, quote, organic waste high-speed composting facility, unquote, would turn food waste and other types of garbage into biofuel pellets. But the activist groups Catskill Mountain Keeper, River Keeper, and the new citizen coalition group Don't Trash the Catskills say it is not good for the environment. According to Catskill Mountain Keeper, quote, waste-to-energy proposals are rarely a good thing. They're usually false solutions to our state's waste problem, creating as much, if not more, pollution than they are claiming to address, unquote. Hughes says the facility would require 25,000 gallons of water per day from private on-site wells. They are seeking permission to connect into the town of Prattsville's wastewater treatment plant for about 4,800 gallons of industrial wastewater and 1,100 gallons of sanitary wastewater daily. The proposed industrial plant would be located less than 2,000 feet from the Schoharie Reservoir. Quote, industrial wastewater produced at the facility is planned to be discharged into the Schoharie Creek via the Prattsville Wastewater Treatment Plant, which likely will not be able to remove all of the chemicals from the wastewater, unquote, Riverkeeper officials say. Hughes Energy estimates 101 vehicles per day will access the facility, including 42 semi-trailers hauling municipal solid waste on local roads from a 50-mile radius. The facility will be open 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, with waste hauled in 6 days per week from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wes Gillingham, co-founder and the program director of Catskill Mountain Keeper, asked the community what they thought of all that at a public forum in Grand Gorge this week. Quote, you guys are the experts. You shouldn't be relying on Catskill Mountain Keeper, River Keeper, and some lawyer from Albany or wherever, unquote, he said. Quote, you guys are the experts in your community. You know the landscape. You know the people here. You know the traffic, the issues that will affect you, unquote. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Andy Milne applied homeopathic healing principles to jazz composition. And we'll hear what he created with his group, Dap Theory, on the next Deep Threes. Plus Sone remixes, Bill Evans, and Ergo. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be cloudy, with gradually becoming mostly sunny, with a high near 48, and then rain is in the forecast Sunday night, mainly before 2 a.m., with occasional showers after 2 a.m., and a low around 38. Then Monday, scattered rain showers are possible before 4 p.m., a slight chance of snow showers, too. It should be partly sunny with a high of just 44. Monday night, again, a 40% chance of snow showers with cloudy skies and a low around 25. Tuesday, again, there could be snow showers in the morning before 1 p.m. Then it turns sunny with a high of just 35 and a low around 23. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Scout of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
At last, a do-it-yourself fallout shelter from
Survive All.
A shelter that will adequately protect you and your family from the devastating effects of
nuclear fallout and falling debris.
A Survive All shelter is engineered and designed for simple assembly, takes just a weekend's time, and is civil defense approved.
Survive All basement type shelters are FHA approved. No money down, up to 5 years to pay.
Learn how easy it is to assemble a Survive All do-it-yourself fallout shelter today.
The time is now. Protect your family against atomic attack and deadly nuclear fallout. See a survive-all shelter today.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily, and I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library.
And I'm Georgia. I forget how old you are. 11 years old?
Hey, Georgia, I think you need to pay attention to yourself a little more.
Well, I'm from near Hudson. And I'm the real director of the Hudson Area Library.
Oh!
And we're here every week talking about books.
Wait, Georgia gets to do the bookish things part.
Okay. Books we love.
Books we hate.
And oh, yeah, I've always... things. I love saying bookish things. It's just so fun to say.
Emily. I mean, Georgia.
Anyways, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about some books.
No, that's what Emily gets to say, not Georgia.
Oh, go ahead, Emily.
Now you learn your placing.
It's like Freaky Friday here.
Yeah. That'd be fun if we switched lives for a day.
I would do it for a day.
That'd be fun.
I would switch lives with almost anyone for a day.
You don't like your life?
No, just for fun, just to experience it. Yeah. Not every day.
No, I would only want to switch lives with somebody if all of our family members and family and parents and everybody knew, so that if I switched lives with a really bratty person, they won't think that I'm bratty.
I think the one other trick would be, I think I would be too scared that we would switch places and that I would never get to get back to myself.
Exactly.
But maybe I would be too scared to do it. I would have to know like 100% that it was going to work, that it would just be a day and I'd be wake up back in my body.
Ooh, I'd get to stay up late and you'd have to go to bed early.
I would sneak a flashlight under the covers and read.
How you know that I do that? I only do that on nights when I'm not tired at all. And I only do it for like 15 minutes.
Hope your parents aren't listening to the radio show. Now they know all your secrets.
Wahaha. But by the way, Mom and Dad, I only do it on weekend nights. So ha. And those are the
days. Plus reading's good for you.
Yes. And those are the days when I sleep in. So ha.
Ha.
Ha. Well, my mom is right downstairs, so she probably already figured it out.
Okay. Anyways, you have a book to share.
I mean, George's mom, not my mom. My mom is, I'm visiting my mom's house right now.
Your mother-in-law.
I am a grown adult. That does.
Grown adult things.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Georgia.
Anytime, Emily. Do you have a book you want to talk about?
Hey, that's what Emily gets to say.
Why don't we do things differently this week and you start? How about that?
Curse you.
So you want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I mentioned this book on last week's show as a book that I was wanting to start reading, and I did start reading it, though I haven't finished it. So I'll probably talk about it more at a later date. But I started reading a book called Alatsoway by Darcy Little Badger. And it is, let's say it's a young adult book. I guess I can report back if I think it's a good choice for middle grade as well. But it's set in a world that's similar to ours, but a little different in some ways.
Is it a different planet?
No, it's this planet. It's seemingly this planet, but there's some fantastical elements at play.
What's the planet like?
The main thing that jumps out right from the start is that the main character, Alatsoway, can raise the ghosts of dead animals. This has been passed down through generations of her Lipan Apache family. And so she has her dog, who is now a ghost dog, who is sort of her companion. And there's a murder mystery as part of this plot where her cousin is killed, and she's trying to solve the mystery of what happened to her cousin.
What if it's the cute dead pug?
I don't think it's the dog. That would be quite the twist, though.
A dead dog murdered my cousin.
No. The classic tale of the murderous dead pup.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
That hurts right here.
But so far it's really good, and I'll talk more about that next week. But I thought, since it is American Indian and Alaska Native Heritage Month, that I could read a couple poems that are kid-friendly, that are written by American Indian poets. How does that sound? Good stuff? Okay. I got a thumbs up.
We've been researching the Stockbridge Munsee Mohicans in school. Also, I've been learning about them since I was like 5, so I know a lot about the Mohicans and their heritage. It's really interesting to learn about that. It's really fun.
Is there anything you think our radio listeners should know in particular?
I don't know.
Or is there anything that's most interesting to you in learning about them?
Well, I really like learning because it's like, now what everybody thinks of American is just pretty much Europeans, which is not true. I mean, Americans aren't just Europeans. It's everybody who lives in the USA, or really anywhere in the Americas. I mean, honestly, I don't think it's right to consider our country America, because North America and South America are all America, not just the USA. That's why you will never, ever, ever hear me say America. I always say US or USA, mostly US.
Our listeners that want to learn more, there's some books in the library about the Stockbridge Munsee Mohicans that you can borrow. There's also, their community has a website that you can also learn a bit on. But so I'm going to read a few poems. So the first one I will read is called To Yehola on His First Birthday. It's by Alexander Posey, who was born in 1873 and was a Muscogee Creek poet, journalist, and humorist, known for his poems and Fosfixico letters, which I would have to look up to know what that means. I know what poems are, but I don't know what Fosfixico letters are. So this is To Yehola on His First Birthday. The sky has put her bluest garment on and gently brushed the snowy clouds away. The robin trills a sweeter melody because you are just 1 year old today. The wind remembers in his sweet refrains, away, away up in the tossing trees, that you came in the world a year ago and earth is filled with pleasant harmonies. And all things seem to say, just 1 year old today. Isn't that such a sweet poem?
Beautiful.
I'm curious if Yehola is their child or a family member, or what inspired this poem. I would assume it's their child, but I don't know. That's very sweet. All right, so I'm going to read another poem. This one is by Joy Harjo, who is the United States Poet Laureate. And she was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1951. And she's a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation as well. And she has a lot of books of poetry and memoirs. And she also, for her U.S. Poet Laureate project, she created a website called Living Nations, Living Words that has a cool map of the country where you can, there's little spots on the map. And if you go to a certain spot, you will find a picture and bio of a Native poet, as well as be able to read and see, hear some of their poems being read. And it's really fun. And it also has a companion anthology that you can borrow as a book from the library, or I guess you could also buy a copy for yourself if you wanted. But anyways, this is by Joy Harjo, and it's called This Morning I Pray for My Enemies. And whom do I call my enemy? An enemy must be worthy of engagement. I turn in the direction of the sun and keep walking. It's the heart that asks the question, not my furious mind. The heart is the smaller cousin of the sun. It sees and knows everything. It hears the gnashing even as it hears the blessing. The door to the mind should only open from the heart. An enemy who gets in risks the danger of becoming a friend. I love that last line.
Wait, what was the last line? An enemy is pursue, risk the danger of becoming a what?
A friend.
Oh, there's a lot of background noise. That's why I muted myself. But I thought it was brat.
Becoming a brat. It's a very different meaning.
So I thought it was like either rat or brat. And I was like, that really doesn't sound like a poem that Emily would share. Something's up.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I guess Emily just likes stuff like that. That poem is beautiful. With the friend part, if it was
not with the brat. Emmys,
though, or it's becoming a rat.
Oh, a rat? A rat. Or a brat.
A rat or a brat. A brat, rat. A bratty,
a bratty rat. Yeah, so that poem, This Morning I Pray for My Enemies, comes from Joy Harjo's collection of poems called Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. But I'm actually reading all of these on poets.org. And for listeners out there, poets.org isn't youth specific, but if you do a search on poets.org for poems for kids, or if you just do a search, like a Google search for poems for kids, you'll get a link to their section that's focused on poems that are good for kids. And they have, if you scroll way down, they have a Native American heritage section, as well as many other themed sections. Let's see, I need this one. This is a segment from a poem called Whereas by Layli Long Soldier. And Layli Long Soldier, incidentally, received an MFA from Bard College, not too far from here. That's interesting. But yeah, so this is from her poem, Whereas. Whereas, when offered an apology, I watch each movement, the shoulders high or folding, tilt of the head, both eyes down or straight through me. I listen for cracks in knuckles or in the word choice. What is it that I want? To feel, and mind you, I feel from the senses. I read each muscle, I ask the strength of the gesture to move like a poem. Expectations, a terse armfold, a failing noun thing, I scold myself in the mirror for holding. Because I learn from young poets, one sends me new work spotted with salt crystal, she metaphors as her tears. I feel her phrases, I say, and understand me, and I wonder. Pages are cavernous places, white at entrance, black in absorption, echo. If I'm transformed by language, I am often crouched in footnote or blazing in title. Where in the body do I begin?
Wow.
Woo.
I'm used to being on mute, so I mouthed. Wow.
Wow.
Now you know my secret. Yes, I mouth that stuff. You now know my secret.
Sure. Secret is out.
Yes. The secret is out.
Yeah. I'll read one more poem. This one is called She Was Fed Turtle Soup by Lois Red Elk, who is an enrolled member of the Fort Peck Sioux. The willows were turning green, slips of leaves pointing to one another in a slow tempo, soothing the air with whispers of coming water. Her feet were bare and the earth cool, while a loose hem feathered her ankles for her walk. Bracing on stems for the gradual pace to not disturb all the sleeping turtles, she wished for sunlight and a shade of green to hurry growth and to keep her hidden. How close could she lean into the memory of relatives who lived this life of damp shells and slow demeanor without alerting them of her intent? All of Grandma's voices were now shaking her sleepy mind and begging her return to answer the details of her dream. It was the call of tradition that signaled the next step to seal the new experience into her life basket. She will be served turtle's energy for her growth. Off of Grandma's favorite tree, a knot was cut and shaped into a bowl. Handles in the shape of young turtles were carved into the sides. Into the cottonwood bowl was poured the prepared soup with essence of memory from a life once lived. Thanking all that came before this earth, life was her detailed prayer. A calling of all water animals to witness the taking of one energy to give to the energy of another, a child who passed the test of recalling ancient blood. Her heart will live with turtle strength. Her life will be long and purposefully directed. Her song will be like the cool breeze moving tall willows above Eddie's remembering ocean. That is from Why I Return to Makosi by Lois Red Elk. And one nice thing about this website is sometimes there's like a little about section. So you can both, there's an about the poet, but then there's also about this poem. This is, I'll read it for this one. In the Dakota Lakota culture, the story of the turtle carries a life of longevity and purposeful living. We make turtle amulets out of deerskin and present them to new mothers who have female babies. The prayer and promise with the amulet is that the child will have a long, purpose-filled life. A small portion of the baby's dried umbilical cord, the last connection between the mother and baby, is sewn into the amulet and kept with the child's clothing. The prayer and knowledge is that the turtle spirit now cares for the child spirit. Also, when the child matures and has their first dream, they are fed turtle soup. The dream is always good and reveals a lesson or purpose for the child. We celebrate with the child by telling them that the turtle spirit and energy in the soup is transferred into the child and will guide and protect the child in and through their dreams. So that gives a little background on what that poem was about for anyone interested.
Wow. Oh, like I said, I'm used to being muted, but wow.
Wow.
I think also I just naturally said, wow, but for some reason I mouthed it. Any more?
Stop at that for now.
Okay, Georgia.
Maybe I'll share some more another day.
Okay, Georgia.
Okay, Emily. What do you have to share today?
I have a book to add onto my to-read list, which, let me just check here. Well, I'll probably get, this is my 1,000th book on my to-read list. I'm kidding. No, I've read this. Okay, stop. Now I'm actually Georgia.
Okay. And scene.
But seriously, how many books do you have on there?
Well, it's hard to say because there's like the actual to-read list, like that includes things that I haven't actually put in a physical to read list or a digital to read list. I'm not sure. It depends on which one. If it's the actual one, I have no idea because I don't, it's like in my brain and constantly growing. If you're talking about my Goodreads to read list, it is 742 books. But clearly not all of the books that I want to read are in that list. And there's probably some in there that I no longer want to read that I once put in. So.
You should.
I would say thousands.
So, okay. So this book is called Strong as the New Pretty, A Celebration of Girls Being Themselves. And it's by Kate T. Parker. And it's very different from most books. This is less of a sit down and read book. This is more of like a, you know, coffee table book. But this is a perfect book to make a statement in your house. It's called Strong as the New Pretty. And this is probably my favorite book. It's just a big book full of photography of girls ages 5 to 19, and it has quotes from them and really beautiful photography. It's all very girl power, and I will read the description. Girls being fearless, girls being silly, girls being wild, stubborn, and proud. Girls whose faces are smeared with dirt and lit up with joy. So simple and yet so powerful. Strong as the New Pretty celebrates, through more than 175 memorable photographs, the strength and spirit of girls being 100% themselves. So, Emily, the next time I go to the library, would you like me to drop this off? I'll give it to you to borrow?
Sure. I'd love to check it out.
You should get this in the library. Like, is there a section for like coffee table books?
We don't necessarily have a coffee table book section, but we do have photo collections, which it sounds like that book is maybe primarily, is it like photo essays? Like it's like a well taken photo.
It's all photos, with short quotes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we do have some books like that.
Okay. Mostly you should get this in the library. The shape of the book is a perfect square. It's about, it's the size of about 2 Georgia heads.
So 10 feet tall? I'm just trying to make our radio listeners think you have a 5-foot head. That would be funny looking.
My head is like
normal sized.
How many inches or something? Like 6 inches or something? Probably 7 inches.
I'd have to get a ruler.
Woo.
So what was the context with which this book came into your life? Was it a gift? Was it a purchase?
It was a gift from one of my cousins, Emma. And, well, actually, no, it wasn't from just Emma. It's from Emma and Jack. And I got it when I was 6. And the moment I read it, I was in love. I found my love.
Your love.
Love.
You should write the Bound by Books theme song. No?
We should just pick a song to be our Bound by Books theme song.
We had one for the early years, and then at some point,
what was your theme song?
It was either the full song or a segment from a song called Bath Time in Clerkenwell by The Real Tuesday Weld. Just kind of a funny little song.
What if we make our theme song Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go? Wake me up before you go-go. Don't leave me hanging all night with a yo-yo.
I do like that song.
That song is so 80s.
Yep. Wham.
Wham. Or how about Take On Me? For some reason, right now I'm in the mood for 80s music. I go through music moods.
Yeah. Same.
Most kids when I talk about a lot of the bands that I secretly am obsessed with, they're like, who, what, where? Because I am secretly, and not even my closest friends know this about me, I'm secretly obsessed with 90s alternative.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite song?
My favorite songs are Jealousy, Jealousy by Olivia Rodrigo and Wild Things by Alessia Cara.
But I mean favorite from 90s alternative.
Yeah. My favorite is probably Ball and Chain, and I forget who that's by. That's probably my third favorite song of all time. I do love 90s alternative.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I know that one. I'll have to look it up. I might recognize it if
really
I heard
like,
it.
The White Stripes and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah, they're fun.
No, those are both early 2000s. So I guess I'd say I also really like early 2000s alternative. I like 1990 to 2010 alternative, probably. I don't really like much alternative past that. I think once you got to 2010, pop took over, and then everybody was like, oh, who cares about alternating? Let's trash it. And then they trashed alternative. It ruined it.
We're alternative.
Sadly. Oh, also, my favorite band is Mumford and Sons, which was my favorite music group when I was one.
Aw, little baby Georgia.
It's like, it's mostly in 2010, it's alternative. Oh yeah, also I really like the Lumineers. I could go on and on. I like pretty much any alternative from 1990 to 2010. Now I've got oh hey stuck in my head. Doo-dee-doo-dee-da by the Lumineers.
Mm-hmm. I like all the decades. Mostly. Not all the songs though. Well, speaking of music, we're going to play a little song as we head out, because we're just about out of time for today. And we always end with a little music. So we'll play a little music for you.
Before you go, go, go leave me hanging on.
It might be Wham.
Yo, yo. Wait, no. Go leave me hanging on that with some slime. Wake me up before you go, go. Go leave me hanging on that with a puppet. I could go on and on with all the different fidgets.
You could, but we're out of time. But we'll be back next week to talk about more books and perhaps share some more poems. Until then,
And also brainstorm Bound by Books theme songs.
Oh, yeah. If our listeners have any suggestions, send them in. But we hope everyone has a good week.
Have a good week, peoples.
With lots of
quality reading time, people. It's quality, so get it.
Happy reading. Bye.
Happy reading, peoples. Bye.
I just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Nothing, everything for two. I just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Like a summer rose, need a summer rain. I need your sweet love to fill the way. Well, I don't know what to do with myself. Just don't know what to do with myself. Like a summer rose, the sun and rain. I need your sweet love to be love away. I just don't know what to do with myself. Just don't know what to do with myself.
Do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Did you hear that?
No.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It's all about meow. It's a river of dreams. It's the tales of King Arthur. It's Leonardo's horse. It's dinosaurs. It's Into the Woods. And it's a walk in the words. Hudson Talbot's the author and the illustrator of these amazing books, 27 in all. Hudson lives just south of the capital region, and so he's a Hudson Valley resident. Hello, Hudson. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Andrea, it's nice to be here with you.
I know that you're a writer and an illustrator, and someone had even mentioned they thought that you were a cartoonist. How do you describe your art?
Basically, it's all devoted to illustration now for my books. I do these books that I write and illustrate and design from cover to cover. And I get somebody else to pay for them. So it's great. You know, my publisher is Random House. So they've got enough money to pay for them. And I've made them a little money, too. That's how it works here. You know, if you want to get republished again. But no, they've been wonderful to me. I've been with the same editor there for many years. And it's a great relationship. But basically how I describe myself is an author and illustrator.
A storyteller. Hudson's newest book, A Walk in the Words. It's your own story about a struggle you had as a boy.
It is my own story. It's the first time I've done anything that's truly directly autobiographical where I really speak in first person, you know, using I rather than he or she even. I've done some books with the female character as the main one. Any author will tell you everything you do is a little bit autobiographical. But this one really is my story of my struggle with learning to read, being the slowest reader in the class, long before there was such a word as dyslexia in common usage. I certainly never heard it. Nobody at all was being diagnosed with it back in those days. The stigma is that if you're a slow reader, it just means you're slow altogether. It became my secret. You know, I learned how to make it look like I could read, and I'd see a big block of text on a page and I could read the first sentence and sort of a few in the middle and then some at the bottom and hopefully would not get caught. As all the other kids were turning the page, you know, to the next one, I still hadn't even finished the first one. I carried that secret with me for a long time. I mean, in some ways, you know, even though I've overcome it, you could say in many ways, something like that lives on in a person. And that's really my motivation for doing this book, because I don't want any kids who had the same struggle or having the same struggle to live with that sense of shame that I did, you know, for my young life. There's no reason for it. We all should be entitled and feel deserving of reading at our own pace and doing things that we love to do the way we do them. You know, we're all individuals, and I guess that's what I would like to use this story for, to extrapolate. I hope that people and kids will feel like this is something that's applicable to me, that I am an individual. I have the right to be who I am, the way I am. I might be good at sports. I might be good at music. I might not be so good at this thing or that thing. So what? That's me. That's my package. You become whole eventually in life when you know how to own your strengths and your weaknesses. It certainly did not stop me, not just from the joy of reading, playing with words, but from becoming a storyteller, from writing my stories. You know, that's what led me to where I am today.
I read that you began to tell stories using pictures rather than using words, and that was sort of the connection between learning more words and learning how to use words, as well as combining that with the ability to tell a story in a more abstract way.
What I did looking back, I always loved stories. Everybody does. You know, I loved to be read a story. I love hearing stories. And I was really wanting to tell stories, and I did it through drawing pictures, as so many kids do. And as I continued to do that, I was starting to realize that I could do it better or more completely if I could use words. So I actually started using words in my writing to tell stories. That led me to reading more, to find good words that would be good in my stories. And like if I wanted to do a story about a horse, which was a very common thing for me, I loved horses. And so I read books like King of the Wind and The Black Stallion and stories about horses, just getting lost in the story, not thinking that I'm reading. I just wanted to know what happened next in the story. So sort of like it was in some ways kind of a backdoor into reading, learning to enjoy words and language and putting them together. And it's like alchemy, you know, you put certain words together and you've got magic. That's what I'm always trying for when I'm doing any book right now.
So you've done 27 books. You did other things as well.
Oh, I've done lots of other things, but drawing and art and making art's always been a constant for me. Certainly as far back as I can remember, I was bringing home drawings or even doing them on our living room floor and my mom putting them up on the fridge, you know, with a magnet or whatever. And, you know, and then eventually becoming like the quote unquote class artist, you know, when I was a teenager, writing very different story. I really didn't come into writing. I wrote privately for myself, but I never showed that to anybody. I loved writing because, again, it was another form of expression. I had that impulse. I had that drive to express myself. It really wasn't until I was about 35 years old that I had a very lucky break. Doesn't usually happen this way. A children's book editor in New York City saw some of my illustration, a calendar that I'd done in Barnes & Noble, and just thought he'd try finding me. He looked me up in the Manhattan phone book. There I was. I was in his office the next day, and he said, how would you like to try to write an illustrated children's book? And I said, well, illustration, I've got that down. Writing, you need to understand, I'm barely literate. So he said, don't worry, why don't you give it a shot? We can always call in a writer if it doesn't work out. That was 30 books ago. Did that. That was my first book. It was a hit. They were going back to press before it was even out on the bookshelves. And Steven Spielberg picked it up and made it into an animated feature-length film.
It was
called We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. It came out in the early 90s. I was very lucky and very fortunate and very grateful for having such a great start right away. It doesn't usually go that way for people.
But you really love travel as well. You've got Amazon Diary and Safari Journal. Those were two books that you based on your travels. They're not really considered totally children's books, are they?
Well, you know, that's a funny thing that you're mentioning, because I have discovered that a lot of adults love children's books. Yes. And frequently I will get people that if I'm signing books and in a line, you know, of buyers waiting to have their book signed, they might come to me with a couple of books and they'll say, well, this one's for my grandchildren and this one's for me. Or sometimes not even that. They'll say, no, there's certain books that I just like and they happen to be children's books. I don't care. I love the pictures. I love the story. I'm flattered. I'm honored that somebody would feel that way. I do. I absolutely do. That's what made me want to get into it. When I lived in New York, there was a wonderful bookstore, still is there, called Books of Wonder. And they had the best children's books, beautiful, individual, creative books with these wonderful, very imaginative illustrations. I always thought, you know, if I ever did children's books, I'd like to be in that store. And they were one of my first places where I signed books many years later.
Fantastic. Travel does have a great deal to do with your life and with what you find enlightening and expanding.
Yeah, well, I do love travel. I guess I was just always dreaming about it back in the lily white suburbs of Louisville, Kentucky, just how I could bust out of there. So I started by going to school in Italy for my junior year and moving up to Amsterdam, finding the love of my life there and living in Amsterdam for a while, and then moving back to New York and Hong Kong and Malaysia, traveled a lot just like that. And then for my books, once I got established and I wanted to do research for books like Safari Journal and Amazon Diary, they were just really lucky breaks. Amazon Diary, I happened to meet a jungle doctor, a guy, wonderful man, who took malaria medicine into the remote depths of the Amazon rainforest to this tribal people called the Yanomamis, who were suffering and dying from malaria. And I asked if I could go along with them sometime on a trip, and I did. And that's where Amazon Diary came from. And I got to meet and spend time with this wonderful tribal culture that sadly is vanishing very quickly, as are all indigenous cultures, you know, almost all around the world. And then with the Safari Journal, I was in India and I met a man who had the job I would have wanted as a kid. He was a wildlife veterinarian in Africa. And I thought, oh my God, this is a story I need to do. Got to be friends with him and told him about Amazon Diary and would he ever want to do a book with me. And he said, sure, come on over. So I went over and was with him for, I don't know how long, maybe a month. And we traveled around to all these various locations. Africa, Kenya in particular, is just a wildlife paradise. If you're an animal person, you really have to go to Kenya and Tanzania. It's just, they're extraordinary. But for him, it was particularly a wonderful thing because he was in contact with the Maasai people, who are cattle herders. They keep cattle. And so his specialty was about diseases that pass back and forth between wildlife, such as wildebeest, and domestic animals like the Maasai's cattle. So they welcomed us in because he was like the big man on campus, you know, for them. So it was great. Oh, it was just such a privilege being on the inside of that. It was a great experience for me.
But you're wonderful with the local information as well. I mean, the River of Dreams, the story of the Hudson River, is right here. We can see it right out the window. An exciting book as well.
Well, thank you. You know, in later life, after my travels and living in the city for many years, I decided to settle down in the Hudson Valley. And I love it here. And eventually, you know, I got to thinking that my name, Hudson, Hudson River, Hudson Valley, the city of Hudson, maybe there's a book, maybe something's telling me I need to do a book about this. And so that's where the River of Dreams came from. It's the story of the Hudson Valley based on the dreamers who always were led here, including myself. It starts with me as a little kid dreaming about going to New York, ultimately up the Hudson River, following the dreamers like Henry Hudson and Robert Fulton and Pete Seeger, you know, was one of the great people who inspired dreamers, you know, with all of his great music and helping to start the environmental movement.
It's been made into a stage play of the students up and down the Hudson Valley.
It's called River of Dreams. If anybody's interested, I would be happy to pass on information about how Tool could produce that. I am so lucky that one of my best buddies, Frank Cuthbert, is also a gifted singer and songwriter, and he composed the music for River of Dreams. It's wonderful. It's been produced now many times. We'll be again in the spring at Hudson Hall in Hudson, New York. It's an after-school project called the Hudson Harmony Project, an after-school program where they learn to sing and perform and entertain kids who are drawn to being on stage.
I hope that you come up to the Capital Region. We're only 30 minutes, 40 minutes from you.
Yeah. No, I'm at the most, we're just about a half an hour, 40 minutes down the road from you. So I would be happy to. I want to come over and explore Troy. I hear so much about how it is blossoming. And I've known about its great architectural history.
Maybe there's a book there.
Maybe.
What have you got coming up next?
Well, I am starting another book. My editor is patiently waiting. Mm. Right now, I'm still doing the PR for A Walk in the Words. But I do have another book in the wings. You know what I always love to tell kids, you know, when they ask me, where do you get your ideas from? It's always, you know, write what you love. I like to say, write what you're curious about. All of these things that I've ever done have always been because I was curious about it. And the project that I've got started is something that I've always been wonderfully curious about. I love doing the research. It's so much fun to get immersed in learning about something. So I can write about it. What can I tell you? It has to do with stars and astrology. That's as much as I'll say.
That'll be a good one. I can't wait.
What I'll mention, because you just jogged a thought for me when you asked, what have I been working on? I've been working on my website. As you said, my books are so varied, one from another. People know me from one book and they discover, oh, he did dinosaurs, or oh, he did King Arthur, or something like that. So I'm in the process of doing a website. It's up and running now if people want to go to it. But it shows insides of almost all of my books. So you really get to have a walk in the pictures if you go to my book. It's HudsonTalbot.com.
This has been Andrea Cunliffe for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
And you
are listening.